Yes, as you'll see from the sheet, that we're, the first part of our readings is from Genesis 17, verses 1 to 14, and then we'll continue with Romans 2, 25 to 29, and I'm hoping my voice lasts. The covenant of circumcision. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be my father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be made an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant." And then moving to Romans. "Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as those as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person who is not a Jew, who is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit and not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. And simply having Dave followed by Colin standing here is a reminder to me, certainly as vicar, but I'm sure to all of us, of just how greatly God blesses his church with the people needed in particular stages to do certain things. And we're both grateful, or all grateful, to both of you, Colin and Dave, for your work on finances over many, many years. And Dave, maybe you will catch Colin up. Who knows? But we'll see. And also blessed to have people like Nellie working with us. And as I think Janet said, adding to Maya's prayers, the PCC last week approved the appointment of a successor to Nellie. It's one of my little things. We never replace anybody. I mean, think of trying to replace Nellie. Impossible. But you can have a successor to Nellie. You could never replace Colin with Dave. But Dave succeeds. Does that make sense? And I think that's quite important. We don't talk about replacing people, but we talk about their work being succeeded. So do be praying for that. Pray too for the work to our crypt, which we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for one individual who's the conservation officer in Bristol City Council. We've been waiting for months for his comment on what's called planning pre-app, And only when that's come back can we make our application is ready to go. Everything is ready. We're just waiting. Please will you join us in praying that that breakthrough comes and we can get that consent to go forward. Finally, just before I begin, two words of thanks. Thanks for the wonderful welcome you gave to my mother-in-law last week. I don't know how many of you were here, but she couldn't stop talking about you and how wonderful you were, how welcoming, how warm, how inspiring she found chatting to people like Beryl. I think it's very good for her to meet somebody slightly older even than her, Beryl, so that was a real encouragement to her. It's the last comment I'm going to make on your age, don't worry, till you're 100. And thank you, too, for those of you who were praying for me as I was out in Israel in the early part of this month. And I've taken a vow not to become one of those clerical bores about Israel and Palestine. But given our reading today, it was extraordinary standing in the place that is sacred to three great faith movements who trace their ancestry back to the man called Abraham. There's a place you can stand. It was just down the hill from the hotel we had in the old city in Jerusalem, where if you look down, you see the Jews, the Orthodox at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. You look above, you can see the Dome of the Rock and the Mosque of Al-Khazira, which is where the Muslims have their holy space. And then if you just look over there, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which I'm sorry to say is as gaudily ghastly as everybody told me it would be. That's the one of the Christian elements there. And I want to ask the question this morning, what marks you? All of us bear marks. Some of us may have literal birthmarks, but all of us are marked by our experiences in life. Some of those marks may be marks that have helped us flourish. They've nurtured us. They've encouraged us. They've inspired us. They've pushed us forward. Other marks may be very different. They may be wounds, marks that have closed us down, inhibited us, or what have you. And our readings today are talking about marks, and in particular this mark of circumcision. I'm sure many times in this series on Abraham, the nature of covenant has been reflected on. One of the extraordinary things, covenant is a binding agreement between two parties. But in the Bible, covenant uniquely is a binding promise that one individual takes upon himself for the other. And that individual is God. A few weeks ago, if I may trespass backwards into somebody else's territory, Genesis 15, I don't know whether it was read or talked about, Abraham has a dream. And in the dream, God, he sees parts of animals, animals cut in two, almost like making the sides of an aisle. You may remember it. So one half of an ox on this side and the other. I mean, it's a grisly scene. So let's not dwell on it too much. But here's the point. In the ancient world, when one king conquered another and required the conquered king to swear allegiance, that's actually what they did. With everybody watching, the people of the conquered and the people who had done the conquering watching, the vanquished king, the defeated king, would be made to walk between the carcasses of animals. And the symbolism was, if I break my promise to you, you have the right to cut me in two as we have cut these animals. It was a sort of very grisly version of that old thing in the playground, cross my heart and hope to die. Do you remember saying that when you were younger? It's probably not a very wise thing to do, but you know what I mean? And we said that, and it was a way of saying, look, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm not going to break my word. And that's what they did, literally, in the ancient Near East, in that situation. Literally, a conquered king would walk between. The extraordinary thing in Abraham's dream is that it is God himself who walks between the carved pieces of animal. God is saying, this is how seriously I take my word. And there's a number of iterations, a number of repetitions of the covenant between God and Abraham. And here in chapter 17, God gives Abraham this sign, this physical sign in the flesh of the males. And still today, Orthodox Jews, of course, are circumcised. It can seem very strange to us, very foreign language. And it may be helpful to remember that the Old Testament is without doubt part of our story as Christian believers, but it is not our chapter of the story. And sometimes just holding that can be helpful. It's part of our story, but it's not our present chapter. Circumcision was part of what we call the law, with a capital L in the Bible, or the law of Moses. All those regulations really stemming out of the Ten Commandments that were given to God's people. And Paul, looking back as a convinced Orthodox Jew, as a Pharisee, as an upright man who'd been circumcised on the eighth day, who'd gone through all his training, he looks back from his encounter with Jesus and begins to see the purpose of circumcision in the flesh and the law. And he sums it up in these words. It was to say to God's people, we cannot possibly keep all these laws. We cannot by our own strength be righteous. We cannot be perfect. We cannot live even as we ourselves would long to live. And I'm sure many of you know that feeling. Maybe even the days before you came to faith in Jesus. Most people seek to live a good life. They seek to abide by a moral code. But nearly everybody finds that even their own moral code is impossible to keep. And that's why in the Psalms we find King David, rather than boasting about the law, throwing himself on God's mercy, owning to his sinfulness, owning to his inability to keep the commandments, much as he loves them. And so Paul says that through the work of Jesus on the cross, we now have an advocate, a guide, a companion, the Holy Spirit. All the way through the Old Testament, the writers, particularly the later prophets, began to talk about the day when the Spirit of the living God would write law, not on tablets of stone to be observed from the outside, but actually carve them, as it were, on the human heart. Change the human heart so that with the Spirit of God's help, we can begin to live in a different way. That's why I wanted this little reading from Romans 2, where Paul says that actually your outward observance and your outward marks don't really cut it, if you'll pardon the pun. The Christian's birthmark is inside. It's on your heart. It comes as we allow the Holy Spirit, the best heart surgeon the world has ever known, to wield his scalpel of grace and mercy and love on our hearts. And we're not now talking about the organ that pumps blood around the body, of the 800 occasions in the Old and New Testament where the word heart, even though it is cardia, it never means the physical organ. It means the very essence of what it means to be you. It's the seat of your dreams, your longings, your passions. It's what really drives your decisions, the way you live life, the choices you make, the way you behave to other people and so on. And it is that that the Holy Spirit offers to shape and change and mold and renew. We've each had, if we've put our faith in Jesus, our Christian birthmark, the mark of the new birth that Jesus promises to all who place their trust in him. And just like, but supremely, I hope, more than all the other marks that we have received in life, this birthmark determines the way that we, in our turn, leave marks on the lives of others. It's a psychological as well as a spiritual fact that hurt people hurt people. And some of us will know what it is to respond to others because of the marks that life has left on us. Jesus and his Spirit offers a new way of living as we accept, embrace, and pursue ever more ministry internally from the Holy Spirit, so to be marked in our innermost being by his grace and mercy, that we begin to mark the lives of others in profoundly positive, beneficial, and redemptive ways. So whatever we make of the covenant of circumcision physically in the Old Testament, let's pursue the mark of God's Spirit in our very innermost beings. Let's daily invite him to continue his work, that as we move among the people of earth, we may mark their lives in profoundly redemptive ways. Janet will now lead our gathering to its close as we remember how Jesus was marked, the Son of God, marked by thorns and nails and spear and breathlessness and death. And he did all of that so that he can effect a very different mark within us for the blessing of others.